Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of Sean Hammer. At least I believe it's episode 8. I'm pretty sure it is. As promised, I have for you today, we'll be going over possibly the new Tales of Battle, issue number 4. And also, I'll be doing Sean just bought the Skaven Army book, and we're going to walk through and just babble about some points, and I'll cover it more in depth possibly next week. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'd like to give a happy birthday to my daughter, Alyssa. She'll be 13, big 1-3. She'll be 13 this week, and happy birthday, Alyssa. Should have put her on last show since I dedicated that one to the number 13. She brought that to my attention as well. And I'd like to thank you all for the great support I've been given for my fans, I guess. And, well, let's go ahead and get this out of the way first before I go into Skaven and Tales of Battle. So it's pretty much going to be a fantasy episode. So sorry, 40K gamers. And hopefully last episode was pretty good. We'll be having a part 2 of Planet Strike hopefully next week. I'll actually be playing a game, and I'll go over some of the stratagems and scenarios that I used. And also, I am going to be starting a segment called The Art of Warhammer. And this won't be nothing to do with pictures. This will be based on a little bit of the teachings of Shang Tzu. But this will actually be from the teachings of Sean Tzu. But anyway, hopefully it's not too geeky for anyone. I hope I can lead some people into some formative thoughts about the different... We'll be going over different phases of Warhammer 40K. Well, let's go ahead and start with Tales of Battle. Like I said before, this is an independent tournament magazine, GT Magazine, Grand Tournament. It's now 32 pages compared to before, which I think was 25. Great little publication, especially if you're a fantasy player. It's full color. And very little advertisement, so it's not a big commercial, kind of like the infamous magazine I all the time babble about, but still buy. Well, anyway, let's get into this episode of Tales of Battle number 4. This takes place at the Wasteland Wars, and each one of these different magazines are based on a different grand tournament. This one's from the Wastelands. We got a little bit about Brent Collins, Masters of Battle Army. But he starts, you know, it's a little, interview segment. And it goes into Clan Johnson's non-metallic dwarfs. Very nice looking army. I like seeing other people's painted armies, especially real people, not heavy metal teams. Like, I'm a good painter, I can actually achieve this quality. That's all I'm saying. Talks about what he's got in his army. And it goes into the don't be that guy, the grand tournament etiquette. Which, well, I found kind of interesting because I've recently done a noob's guide on another podcast with a friend of mine for tournaments. But this is like a little guide of, you know, don't be that guy that does this. It goes into fair dice rolling. But it wasn't my fault type thing. I have to take this. I'd be taking cell phone calls or disrupting your match to do your own personal little business. You have 2.5 hours to do a game for 6 turn. There's no excuse for not getting game done on time. So get her done. But the dice really hate me whining about that. No matter how, man, you suck at this. No matter how opponent is being rude, whatever. It's just wrong. Yeah. So, and the attitude of second place is for losers. You know, you see why I don't play a lot of grand tournaments, I guess. I just like to have fun with the game. I do play tournaments, don't get me wrong, though. And I probably will do a grand tournament or so, but I'm not there yet. The next article is actually really interesting. This guy, Nidal Nars, I don't... Anyway, he does a 1001 model knob army for fantasy. It's a lot of freaking models, man. It's actually really brilliant. I'm going to read off his army list here because they got the Crossroads of the Overlord, so they got the three highest ranking guys. But his 2250 army is a head honcho. He's got 8 units of 10 goblin slingers, 2 units of, Noblar. He's got Boglars, and he's got 45 units of 20 Noblar fighters. That made up his army, and it was just like, that's actually fantastic to look at. His paint scheme's not that bad. He took the approach of the ever-so-popular Skink Blue, is what I would call it, and his guys are based in some pink, so it actually looks kind of comical. Reminds me of Smurfs a little bit. Has some different pictures of when these guys played each other, them sitting at the tables. It's got a little cool battle report with, you know, the whole little, this is where this unit's moving, that unit's moving. I can't really, it's got a pretty cool guide of assembly and painting a Tezzent Sorcerer. And it's using with, well, I forget, I don't know. He's using some type of a different wash effect that he's using. The model looks pretty cool. Then it's got table one, which happens in every issue. It's, of course, the last table of the Warhammer, I'm not drunk, believe me, Warhammer tournament. And that would be Demons of Chaos versus Lizardmen. And it goes through a little scenario, what happened, and basically it. I mean, it's for something to look at, a nice magazine. I mean, I can never get too many publications about Games Workshop and Warhammer. So, it's pretty decent. And if anyone, a fantasy player especially, is looking into getting into its tournament scene and want to know what type of different tricks and the tips and trades that people have running into these tournaments, this is a good magazine to pick up. Actually, it's good homework to get you prepared for the future. Okay. As promised, here we go with Skaven. First time opening up the book. Artwork, pretty nice. Nice little Under Empire map. What things might look like in the Skaven Warhammer world. Let's go ahead and get to the meat of everything and get into special rules. Let me go ahead and find that for you. Special rules. My model has the special rules, is explained in Warhammer Rulebook, only the name of the rule is given. Additionally, there are some commonly recurring Skaven special rules that are detailed below. Scurry away. The Skaven embody the adage, he who runs away lives to fight another day. All models in the Skaven army add a +1 to their total roll to determine the distance they flee. Next, we have strength in numbers. And the Skaven are not brave by any nature, but do take courage from being in the large packs of their own kind. All units in the Skaven army add their leadership, add their current rank bonus, to their leadership value for any leadership-based test. Even if there is a general within like, say, 6-12 inches, you take his leadership, then add that unit's own rank bonus to their leadership to determine what the leadership will be rolled for that unit. If the Skaven loses its rank bonus for any reason, it also loses its leadership bonus for the test. For instance, Fling units do not have rank bonuses, so Fling Skaven units must use their basic leadership value. Next special rule is Verminous Valor. Skavens with this rule can refuse a challenge with no loss of honor, and they also can still apply their leadership even in the back rank. Not bad. Next is Warpstone Weapon. Skaven off attacks from these weapons count as magical. It's also got a little scavenge pile. And a couple little Skaven items that guys can take. And they get a little item description such as poison axe, tail weapon, warlock pistols, such and such. Not going to go in too much detail there. I'll probably go through and check things out when I get a little bit more into the book and try a sample game or so. So let's go ahead and go through the Lord section. I couldn't spend a lot of time on special characters, but there is a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the Lord section. Regular Lords, we have the Vermin Lord, which is the Rat Demon. We have a Lore Lord, a Grey Seer, and a Screaming Bell, which is an upgrade for 200 points to the Grey Seer. Heroes, there's a couple... excuse me. There's a couple special characters as well. Plus, you have the Assassins, which act pretty much like Dark Elf Assassins. We'll get there... pretty much exactly like them, but they actually do take up a hero section instead of being added to a unit of core, which surprised me, actually. You got your Warlock, Engineer, your Chieftain, your Plague Priest, and for an upgrade for the Plague Priest for 150 points, you have the Plague Furnace. I'll get a little bit more into those rules as we go along, because there's quite a bit of character in his army. For core, we have Clan Rats. 4 points of model, movement 5, weapon skill, ballistic skill, strength, toughness, all 3, 4 initiative, 1 attack, leadership 5. Special rules include scurry away, strength, and number. You can have weapon teams in the unit. You only get one choice, and you can get a choice of poison mortar, wind mortar, warp fire thrower, rattling gun, or doom flare. I'll go over those a little bit more in a moment. Next we have Storm Vermin. 7 points of model, weapon skill 4, basic Skaven stats beyond that. Same special rules as above, but the unit has hand weapon, halberd, and heavy armor. Unit can have shields for 1 point of model. Oh, and I want to say, for Clan Rats up above, shields and spears for half a point of model apiece. It's kind of neat to see half point, but hey, it is what it is. The unit itself can have a special weapon team. And that's pretty sweet. We have Skaven Slaves, 2 points per model. We got some special, they have Scurry Away, Strength in Numbers, Expendable, and Cornered Rats. The Expendable rule, Skaven Slaves don't cause panic amongst any other Skaven arm unit, except for Skaven Slaves, and Cornered Rats, they do extra amount of attacks instead of fleeing, or when they do flee, because even the most, it says the even most, I don't know. Anyway, I'll get to it in a minute. They are 2 points apiece with 5 movement, 2 weapon skill, 2 ballistic skill, 3 strength, 3 toughness, 2 leadership. Not very good, but for 2 points, what do you do? Next up, we have Night Runners. They actually are 7 points apiece, basic Skaven stats outside of their movement, which is 6, initiative 5, and 6 leadership. They are core. They also have a slinking advance. We'll get to all those special rules as they go back through away from the points. Next, we have 3 points per giant rat, or 8 points per pack master. Actually, before I forget, Night Grinders can have a weapon team, but they can only have the Warp Grinder. Which, well, like I said, we'll get to all the different special weapon teams in a minute. Actually, there's quite a few. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, possibly. They got this... Anyway, the Giant Rats and... Giant Rats and the Packmaster, sorry... Mixed unit, scurry away, strength and number, rat pack, wave of rats, strength and numbers. Not too shabby. I do have a unit started. That was my first Skaven unit I started painting. And there's also a special character upgrade for the unit if you're playing with special characters. Next is rat swarms, which do not count towards your minimum number of core that you have to have in your army. Basic swarm stats, 6 movement, weapon skill 3, 2 is on strength and toughness, 5 wounds, 4 initiative, 5 attacks, leadership 10. They're unbreakable and they're small, so they don't block line of sight to other units. Next, we are into the Gutter Runners. 12 points per model. Unit has Scurry Away, Scout, Skirmish, Sneaky Infiltrators, and Dodge. Pretty cool. 2-hand weapons, throwing stars. Couple little bit of bonuses that they can have. Plus, they can have a weapon team. Called the Warp Grinder. Now we have the Rat Ogres. We got the same points per the Pack Masters, 8 points, but the Rat Ogres are 40 points apiece. They are movement 6, weapon skill 3, 1 ballistics skill, 5 strength, 4 toughness, 3 wounds, 4 initiative, 3 attacks, leadership 5. They do have Frenzy, Scare Away, Strength and Numbers, Beast Pack, Fear, Frenzy, and Mixed Unit. I own 3. I'm going to run them. Yeah. And then there's a special character you can add to that unit if you want to upgrade one of your Pack Masters. Next up is the Plague Monks for 7 points apiece. Basic Skaven stats. They have Frenzy. Two-handed weapons. Pretty standard. Next is the Plague Sensor Bearers. 16 points. Basic Skaven stats. They have a Plague Sensor, Frenzy, Hatred, Plague Disciples, Skirmish, Strength and Numbers, Scurry Away. I'm going to run those. I think I have some of those. Next up is the Warp Lock Giselles. 20 points per Giselle team. Basic Skaven stance. Only special rules is Scurry Away. I'll get to the one team can upgrade to a sharpshooter team, which I'll get to that one in greater detail either today or next time I go over the list. This is just a little touch on so people can say, oh, yeah. Well, at least so I can read it and talk out loud, I guess. Next is the Poison Wing Globadiers. 10 points a model. Basic Skaven stats, of course. Hand weapon, heavy armor. Poison Wing Globes. They have Scurry Away, Life is Cheap, Skirmish, and Volley from the Back. They can have an attached weapon team of a Poison Wind Mortar. So a lot of units, core and special, can both have the special weapon teams. New item for the Skaven in the rare section is the Hell Pit Abomination. This deserves some special going over, so I'll go back to this in a minute, but it costs 235 points. Next up, Doom Wheel, 150. Armor save 4 plus, grinding down the foe. Immune to psychology, impact hits, d6 plus 1. Large target, rolling dune, tear, and zap. We have the Warp Lightning Cannon, which we'll get into that in a little bit later. Probably when I go over the magic items, which may not be in today's episode, like I said. But I believe, because I have not seen the old Skaven army book, is a Plague Claw Catapult, 100 points per model. As a fume addle crew ponderous war machine. So let's go over, after we're done with the points now, let's go into and look at a couple of the things. Let's see, with the Skaven Slaves, like I said, the Cornered Rat's ability, should a Skaven Slave unit break from combat, all units within D6, friend or foe, immediately take D3 strength 3 hits. Another hit is added to the total for each additional rank of slaves after the first one. The broken unit, including any characters that joined them, are then removed, just as if they'd been wiped out from close combat. So that's that. Warlords and Chieftain. There's a couple of Skaven mounts, which I won't worry about too much right now. Vermin Lord is a demon. So don't think we need to go too much into that. Oh, we could go with a Screaming Bell. I'm not worried about that today. Okay. Plague Sensor Bearers. Plague Disciples. Okay. A unit of Plague Sensor Bearers that are within 6 inches of a Plague Monk may use their rank bonus of the Plague Monks to modify their own leadership. And if the sensor bearers are within 12 inches of a plague furnace, they are stubborn. Not a cute little bonus. I'm not going to go over the plague claw catapult, like I said. I want to, or a plague furnace. Well, actually, plague claw catapult. Let's go ahead and go over that. Nope, not going to do it. Just going to go into this horribly sick looking. It's basically a, what's that? Spawn. Chaos Spawn. We got a Hell Pit Abomination. I guess it's got a movement of 3d6, a 3 weapon skill, 1 ballistic skill, strength 6, toughness 5, 6 wounds, initiative 4, attacks are special, and leadership 8. Special rules include impact hits D6. It's a large target. It regenerates. It's stubborn and has tear. Or causes tear. It's got Shambling Horde, which we'll get to that in a moment. Special Close Combats. And it's got the special rule, Too Horrible to Die. So let's go first and see what this thing is. The picture shows a giant mass of flesh with rat heads. Kind of looks like something you'll see off of probably a Silent Hill movie or something. I don't really think it's essential for anyone to buy this model, because with enough green stuff and extra rat heads, I'm sure anyone's going to have the Skaven box, a couple chariot wheels, and you can make yourself one and save yourself probably close to $50. I have no idea how much it is yet, but that's that. It's got a Shambling Horror, the special rule, which is its movement. You roll a D6, and... Oh, okay. Never mind. A whole pit abomination is moved in the owning player's compulsory movement phase, rolling 3d6 each turn. First pivot the hell abomination and face in that direction. If a triple number is rolled, do not move the hell pit. Check the chart below. On a 1, it does not move this turn. On 2, it gets a blind fury. If random moves, okay, the model moves full distance rolled, however, it must do so at random direction. And 6 is fluid injection. The whole pit abomination moves in the direction nominated using the triple already rolled and will increase its strength by +1 for the remainder of the game. Further berserk abominations will roll of a 6, will not increase the beast profile, but will instead immediately inflict D6 wounds on the unit. Okay. If the abomination's movement is sufficient to take it into enemy unit, then it counts as charging. If the move is blocked by impassable terrain, the hell pit abomination will stop 1 inch away from it. And if the hell pit abomination's move takes in a friendly unit, the creature will immediately cause D6 impact hits to units in this way before withdrawing back and ending its movement, which is when it hits you too, it causes a D6 impact hits. Now let's go on to its special close combat attacks. You're going to roll a 6-sided dice. These are kind of similar to the Giants, but not 100%. 1 through 2, we have Feed. 3 through 4, we have Flailing Fists. And 5 through 6, we have Avalanche of Flesh. I'm going to skip over the little cute little paragraph of discuss the details to give you and read what it does. First is Feed. All models in base contact, friend or foe, suffer a single strength 6 hit with no armor save allowed. Each unsaved wound is multiplied into D3 wounds. Flailing Fists. The Hell Pit Abomination makes 3d6 extra attacks. Any enemy unit that suffers one or more unsaved wounds from the Flailing Fist attack suffers -1 to hit for the remainder of close combat. And the last one that you roll, 5 or 6, is Avalanche of the Flesh. Every model based contact with Abomination, friend or foe, must pass an initiative test or suffer an automatic strength 6 hit. Additionally, the Hell Pit Abomination inflicts 2d6 automatic hits distributed as per shooting against a single unit in base contact. He also has a Too Horrible to Die special rule. As soon as the Hell Pit Abomination loses its last wound, remove the model and place a marker. Then roll d6 and check the chart below. 1 through 3. Flaming attacks are used to kill the beast. It's just dead. But 1 through 3, dead. 4 through 5, rats emerge from the rat swarms, forming a single unit or place anywhere within 3 inches of the slain Hell Pit Abomination marker, representing the rats emerging after the beast's withering death throes. Swarm must be placed within 1 inch away, and you place D3 rat swarms, forming a single unit. And number 6 is It's Alive. With a jolt of a natural vitality, the Hell Pit Abomination rises anew. Place a model anywhere within 3 inches of the slain Hell Pit marker, at least one direction away from enemy units, and roll a d6 to see how many wounds the creature had to recover. Pretty cool. And he also has Warpstone Spikes. Ever curious to see what further Mutations produce some master molders will try warpstone spikes into the hell pit abomination. And basically it gives a magic resistance 1 and all attacks count as if they were made by a warpstone weapon. So that's a new goodie for the book, I think, so far that I'm reading it. There was something else. The weapon teams, different weapon teams are as such. We have warp fire throwers, which I'm pretty sure this would be familiar amongst most players. There's the rattling guns, and doom flare, which is a big ball with spikes. It reminds me of the thing off Labyrinth when David Bowie throws that ball down the hallway and, you know, I forgot. Anyway, the thing comes coming down the hallway with the blades. We got one of those. Poison wind mortars. And the warp grinder, which is a cattle prod, basically, with warp stone on the end. Okay, and also, you can shoot into hand-to-hand units with, let me get you there. Sorry. I believe it's the slaves. They're expendable rule. That's what I thought was pretty cool, too, so I don't want to forget to... Expendable. All Skaven except other Skaven slaves automatically pass all tests. And you can shoot into combat with a unit containing Skaven slaves because they are not worth anything to your clan. And you randomize the hit. So that's pretty cool, too. Well, that's my rambling about the new Skaven book. We'll get a little bit more into it as I talk amongst other players and try a few, probably 1,000-point games to give things a little bit of a test. And I'll come back, like I did with the Space Wolf Codex, and talk to you a little bit more about what I'll be doing with it in the hobby and what I think's broken. And maybe I'll have some errata from the Games Workshop. Check the site and stuff and see if they've errated anything. And, well, that's about it. This is your fantasy episode of Sean Hammer. I hope it wasn't a total waste of your time. I'd like to say thank you all. And, till next time, which quite possibly is going to be Planet Strike Part 2, if I can help it. If not, I'll make up something, but look forward to some The Art of Warhammer by Sean Zhu. Maybe I'll come up with a cool little, like, little thing, too. Little sound effect. But you got any emails, if you want to email me any questions that you have about the games, about what the heck am I doing, or what would you like to see me do, please send them to me at seanhammer9@yahoo.com, and I believe there's even a link on the site if you want to send an email. And I look forward to any information I get, and yeah, keep in touch. Till next time, just keep having fun, and remember, it's only a game, and I'll see you soon. Later.